Accession number 20511, Reel 2.
Arthur Mulder, Reel 2. Can you remember anything about the other men in the platoon?
No. There was a chap named Saunders. I always remember. Lance Corporal. And he conned Cadbury's out of a lot of chocolate. Because we bought a bar of chocolate off a naffy. And we ate half of it. And Saunders wrapped it all up, sent it back to Cadbury's in England. Said, look, I bought this, don't think much of it, have it back. About 4 or 5 weeks later, he got a parcel from Cadbury's with every chocolate you could imagine. Saying, oh, sorry you didn't like our chocolate, but try these. so we had a bean piece of chocolate. That's good. But this our officer, second lieutenant Lara, I was a signaller, and we should I should either stand to or sit in the bunker, listening and waiting for signals. And we got on quite well, me and Lara. But he was a bit, I thought, a bit crackers. Because he always had these bright ideas. And one of the chapters we had, he was the archery champion of Kent. He called himself, I'm the Toxophily champion of Kent. But you don't use big words, you know. And Lara said to him one day, look, how long will it take you to make some bows and arrows? Oh, about 3 months. He said, by the time you cut the willow and whatnot and shaped it and dried it and everything. He says, why? He said, well, I was thinking, if we went out on patrol with bows and arrows and we shot all these Chinese with bows and arrows, they wouldn't know where the arrows were coming from, so they couldn't shoot back. You're joking. He said, no, I got that in mind. He says, and he always said to me, Mulder, we're going out on patrol. He said, I said, oh, no, don't want to go on patrol. He says, yeah, be all right, he said. I'll get myself a MC, and he said, you can have a military medal. I said, you can I swear?
Yes.
You stuffed you and your military medal. I used to talk to him like that. And I know, I'd rather go home in one piece. Don't worry. You know, you go and get your MC if you want to. I'll stay where I am. So, and then I was part of my job was to repair broken telephone lines, and of course we got shelled. And the telephone line got broken. And my job, go and repair telephone lines. Trace the line along, find the two ends. And where the little fireworks they were, that you got, put the two ends of wire in, and add a firework on the outside. You struck it, and it all flared up. There was lead inside that melted and joined two wires together. Very simply and very quickly. In fact, it was quicker than one and two wires together. And but once I was doing this, and a shell come over, so I dived down the hole that shelled that broke my wire. It landed about 3 feet from me, so the original shell hole saved my life, really, because if it hadn't been there, mind you, I suppose if it hadn't been there, the wire wouldn't have broken. But but we managed to, quite a nasty And quite often, one of our first casualty. It was quite funny because it was lunchtime. We were going to get something to eat at a mess can. They started to shell us. They called "Wall Dive for Cover." And one of the blokes had dived into a little trench, but he never got your backside down far enough because a piece of shrapnel took a piece out of your backside. And that was the very first regimental casualty we had. And it was quite embarrassing for him, poor devil.
Yeah.
But then after that we had... I was on observation duties and with a daylight patrol going out. And a chap named Rhodes, they went onto this knoll and they had some booby traps there. And he caught the wire and he got his leg, top of his leg, blown away. And we lost him.
He died.
They just couldn't stop bleeding. And that was our first fatality. I went to a funeral. Went to the service. Slightly behind the line before they took him to the cemetery. But that was sad. And of course, me being on observation duty, you sort of watched it all. And there's nothing you can do. You know, you want to... And the medic, the trouble was, the barbed wire in the minefield was all zigzag. And so when the medic went down to get it, he took him a lot longer than going a straight route because it was all long zigzags. And so it did take him quite a while to get there. But he never made it. So. Well, yeah, sad. Another incident was quite funny. There was, I think it was Long Hill 355, and I noticed some activity going on, enemy activity. There was a hill, and two hills separated by a little valley, and between it, across that, was a trench. And it weren't very deep, because you see these Chinese going through. And I actually wrote this in one of our articles. And so I contacted the artillery. I said, you know, get the map reference. And as a side to it, I said, look, there's a lone pine tree, a lone poplar tree there. And they said, yeah, all right, we'll sort you out. About 10 minutes later, sighting shell come over. The tree disappeared. They actually blew the tree up. And then, of course, can't agree. You know, advance it a little bit, and we got to the trench where they. But I think by then, because they missed the trench in the first place, all they'd done was fill the trench back in. But another interesting thing because we went to Incheon for our R&R, and there was a sort of Enzus show. Remember the Enzus show during the war? That in the middle of nowhere, and we went down to it. And I walked along with my mate, and I bumped into somebody, and. I looked up. There's a chap named Ray Hilderley. Now, Ray Hilderley, I used to go to school with. And I hadn't seen him since the day we left school. We actually bumped into each other halfway across the world, in the middle of nowhere. Quite remarkable. And he also now belongs to our branch. I think he was in the Surreys. or yeah, I think it was Surrey he was in. But he lived just around the corner.
Did you get much in the way of leave?
No, I didn't. I'll tell you why in a minute. Because the interesting thing about when we were going back from Incheon, we had to cross the Imjin. Now, when we come, first of all, there was a nice bridge there, and we crossed the bridge. And while we was in Incheon, it rained, sort of monsoon type thing. And when we went back to go across the Imjin again, the bridge had been washed away. And the sappers have put a pontoon bridge there. This Imjin, it's it's about 150 foot high. Of course, when it fills with water, of course, it's really is flowing. And they were driving in the dark across the top pontoon bridge, which is snaking. It can move backwards and forwards. Quite hazardous, but yeah, that was quite exciting for a while there. But that river, once it wasn't the Imjin, but you might have heard of the Battle of the Imjin. That was the same one. But then when that filled with water, it really was torrential. You cannot believe it. It filled up in about 2 days of rain. And it took this bridge out, and the bridge was a metal bridge. It was all quite strong. But, of course, that was heading back to the lines again, wasn't it? But, yeah, actually... I got sent home with the coronation. I'm jumping a bit here, but I'd say I got sent home with the coronation in April, I think it was. May, June. Yeah, April.
You got sent home?
Yeah, that picture up there.
Yes, I can see it.
Is the coronation party sent over from Korea to represent the Royal Fusiliers. And they sent me home. I was the only Fusilier in that... one Fusilier, one Corporal, Lance Corporal, Sergeant, Colour Sergeant, and so on. Three officers.
What did you do in the coronation celebration?
We marched in procession behind the Queen. I think it was 16 miles we marched. It was quite good. So I understand, though, I talked to the men. I said, we're still out in Korea. So, what are you doing in the coronation? They said, oh, we have beer and ice cream. And I said, well, you know better than I did. All I was sandwiches alongside the road. Yeah, so they seemed to enjoy it more than I did. But anyway, going back to Korea. I think it was our second position. It wasn't 355. I can't recall the number of the... We sent Lieutenant Lara called, are we going on patrol, Mulder? Oh no. That was Second Lieutenant Lara. Yeah, no, he wasn't all that bad, but he was young. He was only about 20. And an officer, you know. I told you before, he had all these bright ideas of getting all these medals and so on. Yeah, all right. So... we had a briefing, and the idea was to go snatch a prisoner. We wanted somebody to interrogate. They haven't spoken to a Chinaman for a long time. So the idea would go through the minefields, through the barbed wire fence, and then fan out. That was the idea. And onto a knoll. And then lay in wait. Wow. It was pitch black. You could not get any darker. You feel your way through the minefield and by a sort of barbed wire fence. And Joe Smith and Dave Bacon, they tried to do what they were told to do because nobody knew what the terrain was like. And Joe Smith fell into a paddy field and Dave Bacon had to fish him out again. Bit of a mess, really. And I was fired because I was signaller, so I had to be protected. That was the only way to be able to communicate when back in the trenches. And so I was being protected, sort of, not guarded exactly, but I was stuck between a couple of chaps, you know. And anyway, we eventually made our way to this knoll. And we formed a sort of a semicircle. And there was 11 or so. Yeah, I think it was 11 of us. And there was a semicircle, and I was in the middle of the semicircle, being a signaller, had to be protected. And so we lay there for ages and ages, waiting for this patrol to come along. So the idea was to grab one, shut him up without hurting him, and get him back to the trenches so we can interrogate. And but this happened. He come along, and I heard left second lieutenant Larratt saying they grabbed oldest one. He was saying, "You've got to come with us." And I thought, then he's not speaking Chinese. You should be talking Chinese, mate. And go. It happened quickly, but I remember sort of thinking, "You're supposed to be talking Chinese. He won't understand you." But then it happened. So it was so quickly, because he was able to let off a grenade, and he killed himself. Then Second Lieutenant Larratt opened fire. I understand that they killed about 4 Chinese. And because it was no good, they knew we were there. So we withdrew. And got down the bottom of the knoll. And we had a head count. And we had a Corporal Williams with us. Now, he was a nice man. Knew him very well. He was a Welshman. And we knew how to upset him. Because if we did, he couldn't speak English. He'd break into Welsh. So we deliberately upset him. Yeah, but he was a nice. Anyway. He was missing.
Did you ever find out what happened?
No, I went back and try and find him. And much to Larratt's disgust, he'd like me doing that. And what I didn't know is how badly what had happened to the blokes, you know. And because I got hit in the arm with a shrapnel on my legs. And I couldn't find him anyway. I looked for him. So, sorry.
So you got wounded looking for him?
Yeah.
Had you been spotted?
Well, it was dark, and all we could do was throw hand grenades and then fire. You know, although I must say I never fired because I was back away from the actions in the sense of my position where I had to be. The rest of the boys done their bit, and Anyway, we couldn't find Williams.
Was anything ever heard of him again?
No. I understand a daylight patrol went out to try and find him. They didn't find him. So what happened to him, nobody knows.
So he didn't come back as a prisoner?
No. No, he just... he might have got injured and wandered off, you know. Because there's Lara and called Williams. When the grenade exploded, first of all, they was holding this chap down. I mean, you know. So no doubt Williams got badly wounded. But what happened, we don't know.
How badly were you injured?
Mine wasn't too bad. I got hurt hitting the arm and the legs. Fairly superficial, really. Although I've still got a piece of shrapnel on my arm. But when we withdrew a bit further, we realised that some of the other blokes had been really hurt. There's Joe Smith. He got his arm, badly hurt.
Left arm.
Yeah. Dave Bacon got hurt. A chap named Mead, I bandaged his leg up, and he had a nasty wound in his leg. Although I didn't see it, I could feel it. And I put a bandage around it. And this is the thing about Larratt, really. I must. Although, as I said to you, we thought he was a bit of a prat. We got back up in the minefield, up into the minefield again, and then another problem. Because, the Chinese always come out in force. So although we'd damaged a few of them, they were still following us. And so when we were doing the bandaging and that, we were throwing grenades at them to sort of keep them quiet. And I found that the air on my radio had been destroyed. Weren't no good anymore. Now we can't communicate with the back in the trenches because we needed medical help. And I don't know why. I'm say boasting now, but I had a sudden idea. That Lara, he's got a brain gun with magazine. I said to him, look, put your two magazines together on where the arrow should be. Let's try and see if that works. And it did. And we was able to get in touch with the base again. And that's the only time I heard Lara swear when we got our communication back. The phrase is, fetch Sunray, which is the officer in charge at the time. And the voice came back and said, what's happened? And Larry said, get that bloody suck. I won't say anymore. Get him here, shut your effing mouth up. He's the only time I ever know him lose his temper. There we are. We're wounded, you know, and we don't know what really the extent of the wounds are. And that come, oh dear, upset me as well. And we eventually got back. The medics were up there waiting for us. Turns out that Lara had two compound fractures in his leg. And he never complained once. Never saw him hurt or anything like that. And he walked, got back, and got us back. I say he got us back. But other people remember him as being a prat. sorry to be so blunt. But, But I'll remind him what he did that day. And he actually got us back. And what happened to him after that, I just do not know. And I'd love to know. Because he's a bit of an hero that day. Or that night, I should say.
Did that operation have a name?
No, it didn't. No. It's not. It nearly worked. We did get a prisoner, although briefly, and we managed to get his arms under control. I'm sure we would have succeeded, because everything we set out to do, we did. And that was the only bit that sort of went wrong, and they ended up with a tragedy, really. But if you knew Corporal Williams, you know, and in fact, all the boys know. If you talk to any fusilier, and oh yeah, I remember Corporal Williams. He was not that we forget all the others, fusilier Tull and the lost their lives as well. We did lose quite a few. I say, then after that, they sent me home to take part in the coronation. Because Second Lieutenant Larratt and I, we both got mentioned dispatches for that. And years later, we was in the Sudan, no, Egypt, and with a brigadier's inspection. And he come round to me and he said, "Oh, mention dispatches." "Yes, sir." And he said something which implied that we got it after the war, after we left. And I had to correct him and say, "No, sir. In action." And he sort of stood back. Oh, yeah. Because if they were allowed to shoot me, all our officers would have shot me on the spot. Because my reaction to him, the way I spoke to him. And he stood back and said, "Yes, all right, soldier." I do know of a chap who got mentioned. And when he was in Pusan, I said, "Well, what do you get mentioned for?" He says, "I don't know." Say, "Give me one." And to me, if you're getting that sort of award, it should be for a reason. And I know me and Second Lieutenant Larratt, we did. And I claim that my mention is on behalf of the rest of the blokes, because my wounds were superficial. I mean, I know Joe Smith. If you talk to Joe, he'll tell you. He's still suffering now because of it.
From that same...
From that same wound, yeah. It was his elbow. He did get badly hurt.
What treatment did you get for your wounds?
Oh, no, I had operation, got stitched up. But I must say mine was quite superficial compared with others. I spent 2 weeks in hospital. And then I went back to the line, as did, I believe, Dave Bacon, who was with us at the time. But then I understand Dave Bacon got hurt again after that. So, yeah. But Joe, he never came back. He got evacuated and sent back to England. Spent his last few months service in the Tower of London. That's the regimental headquarters of the Fusiliers, by the way. But while I was in, of course, Operation Pimlico took place while I was in hospital.
So you missed that?
Operation Pimlico, which... and that man, that photograph up there, as Major Chard, he actually led the operation. And the object of that was to go and simply harass the Chinese, because and he.